Live. This is Every Woman. I'm Fiona Nalling, and I'm here with our guest host back again to join us today, Marvita Oliver. Marvita.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Marvita. We're back in the Every Woman studios here at KKFI 90.1 community radio station. I'm really glad to be here today. I had a harrowing experience trying to get out of the driveway this morning with the weather that was going on. Trees were falling left and right, but we made it, so it's good to be here. One thing, I'm really glad to be here to talk with two people that I was searching out, I'll have to say. These are two entrepreneurs in Kansas City. They are doing some work that's a little bit innovative, so much so that they've even been written up in the Huffington Post as KC innovators to look out for. We have Miss Rebecca Dove, and we also have Quest Moffitt. And I'm going to ask you guys if you can tell us a little bit about what you're doing as entrepreneurs, and what do you, well, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into being an entrepreneur, or did you start out like that, Rebecca?
Sure. So thank you so much, Marvita, for letting us be on the show today, and we're very happy to be here. And definitely shout out to Kansas City for supporting us. My name is Rebecca Dove. My background story, in a brief synopsis, is that I grew up in Spring Hill, Kansas, which is south of Olathe, and once I left, I decided to become an educator because I definitely love to help youth across our community. And as I was teaching, I saw lots of different great things and also different deficits. And really what stuck with me in the 10 years of my education experience is that our children of color were reading at least two grade levels behind compared to our non-children of color. And then looking at the national standards, it was definitely screaming that we had major problems. So, for example, 65% of all youth read behind grade level, but 80% of youth who are black and brown read behind grade level, and that continues on with 8th grade as well as 12th grade. So I really thought to myself, what can I do to go beyond my own individual classroom? There's lots of different things that can be done, such as tutoring services, starting a school, mentorship. But I realized that I had an insatiable love for technology, because knowing that technology brightened my students' eyes, I knew that creating some type of technology would really be more scalable that could go beyond Kansas City. So that's really where my journey started, with just looking at the problem on my own self, looking at the national standards. And so in 2015, Quest and I decided to participate in Startup Weekend for Educators, pitched the idea in a room full of different strangers, and as they listened to us, they said, you know what, that is a great initiative that you want to start, and we won second place, so that was a great, great validation for us, and thought of the name called PenEz. It was a long journey, but the reason why I named the company PenEz out of Startup Weekend was because I was actually studying Spanish, and I had also studied French in, at the university level, and realizing that the Latin word is very strong with our community, of course, because mm-hmm. we speak English, and thinking of how do I broaden that scope of just calling it a Spanish, English, or French word. So that's why I just made the word PenEz, which is based upon the Latin word and Spanish word, which means to think.
To think. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, and pondre, to think, in French, right? Yes. Well, you've given us a lot to think about just in that short intro. So I have a question. So you started out as an educator. How long did you teach?
So great question. I taught for 5.5 years full-time, and then I taught for 5 years part-time in KCK and then at the university level. And so...
And when you were a teacher, you saw firsthand the discrepancy as far as, like, I hear third graders is mm-hmm. where you need to start, but you saw firsthand the discrepancy as far as kids not being able to read?
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh. So I taught in Blue Valley School District full-time, and then in Kennesee, Kansas, it was a greater deficit. And then looking at, in Blue Valley specifically, my students who were ESL readers who couldn't speak English, as well as African-American and Hispanic children, they were definitely at least a grade level behind compared to our Caucasian students. And also looking at trying to identify books that would really help them alleviate their issues. I've unfortunately found mostly books about athletes. There was never books even about single parenthood, celebrating that aspect of their story, mm-hmm. or just who they were as individuals, whether it was science or math. So that firsthand definitely solved the issue, and telling our parents that we were doing everything we could. We did have a lot of beautiful resources in Blue Valley School District. But despite, we were still struggling to really get them above grade level.
And you would say that's a nationwide struggle then? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay. Quest, I know I see you here, and I want to get you guys to talk about how you guys came together. But that's really interesting. I know it's a lot going on with even tutors in Kansas City, Lead to Read, those types of organizations. Is that kind of thing making a difference for students as far as you can tell?
From what we know, we don't have the data to prove what actually is happening. Talking to different organizations, they need definitely more help, whether it's in funding or the ability to train their volunteers on how to actually identify and pinpoint what their students are doing. And then also speaking to different organizations, such as even Turn the Page, they need more books that feature people of color. And specifically, we need to make sure these books are written by a Hispanic person, for example, and written about, not just saying that we have an African-American girl with curly hair, mm-hmm. written by a Caucasian individual. That's not really celebrating the voice, because I cannot write a story about a young Muslim girl because I've never had that experience. So how can I write that story if I've never had that experience? We need to make sure that's written by and about those individuals, which is really important. And that's what these organizations are having struggles with as well.
Yeah, if you read stuff online, what you'll see people talking about is own voices, that mm-hmm. own voices is important. So if anyone in our audience has seen that phrase and not known what it's talking about, it's saying that it's really important in literature, in any genre of books, to have own voices, people in there writing about their people. Having someone write that they were on a spaceship and it was just like being back on Earth because there were people of every color, they're at least being inclusive, but it's still just one voice and one aspect. And if someone tried to write a novel about being oppressed on another planet because that planet was racist, unless they'd ever experienced it, it would ring fake and hollow no matter how they tried. Mm-hmm. So, plus, people writing books about racism, if they're white, they're stealing the bandwidth and the money that gets spent on it, mm-hmm. and the books, number of books that can get published, and denying that voice and platform to other people.
Yeah, Quest is over here clapping.
We have a choir member clapping. Yeah, and so that's true. There's an authenticity about a person's message that you can't necessarily duplicate just by putting the right words on the page or saying the right words. So that's really true. Thank you, Quest. I want to ask you a few questions. So, Rebecca, I definitely want to get back to a few things I was thinking about as far as what made you decide to be a teacher, for one thing, and what was your experience as far as like tech stuff. So I'll be getting back to you with that. But Quest, hi, how are you today?
Good afternoon. How are you doing? Thanks for bringing us on the show.
Yeah,
to hear our stories.
I can't help but I was really glad to get Quest low baritone bass voice in here. I love that voice. So we want to know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You were also featured in that Huffington Post article about entrepreneurs in Kansas City. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get from A to B to where you are right now?
Where would you like me to start? How far are we going back?
Well, in the Huffington Post article, it said that you were doing, I think, three things. One was with hair, and another was, I think, coding. Right. I don't want to get it wrong, so I'll stick with that. And you can tell me about the third piece. Oh, and then the third piece was you working with Rebecca.
We'll take a...
Start with the hair part.
I guess before I jump into the hair, I'll take a step back before how I just got into entrepreneurship with a software edge. And I believe the unfair competitive advantage that I had by the schools, the community, and the people that I had the chance to not only hang out with, but also grow up with, compared to my counterparts in Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri. So I grew up in a Blue Valley school district as a black child, where I was one of the few, where I rarely saw myself except on a Sunday when we went to church to go listen. And that's when I saw people that looked like me. I didn't have black teachers, didn't have a lot of black friends when I was in school.
How many black students were in your school?
In my graduating class, there was two, and there was one biracial. She was Filipino and black, and that was it.
So how many kids then?
I had roughly 1,600 kids in my school and a graduating class of 400.
I hear you, bro. I had a graduating class of 700, and it was
a big school.
At Shawnee Mission South, and I think they counted, which seems a lot right now, but I think they counted 30, and maybe, I'm not sure if it was in the school or what, but I know what you're talking about. There's just this thing. You are surrounded by white people, and you are relating to them, and you don't see what they're seeing. and until you go to someplace else, then you see another thing, and I know what you're talking
about. And so the speed that process up, in middle school, I was afforded the opportunity, like Rebecca said, Blue Valley School District had a lot of resources. I was in computer classes, computer science classes, business classes that were extracurricular. Jump into high school, I was in Future Business Leaders of America. Fast forward into college, I was in Students in Free Enterprise. And all of those had their random connections. And then, I think it was 2012? It was about 2 years prior to meeting Rebecca with the Startup Weekend for Entrepreneurship with Education. I started a company. I wanted to take all of my entrepreneurial skills and my technology skills and affect the industry that there are not many black people in and or minorities, but it's the hair industry is 98% owned by our Asian counterparts. But it's completely funded by African Americans and then women. And so I was very fascinated by the industry and from just the lack of technology that was in the industry. So I went into selling natural hair care beauty products, or I attempted to. And about a year into it, I failed. And along the way, I met a lady that was hosting the natural hair events in Kansas City that said I should meet this lovely young lady named Rebecca. Since I was looking for natural hair models for an event that I was getting ready to host, I was planning an event for the National Natural Hair Event for Kansas City. And as a guy, I was planning an event for 100-plus women that had natural hair. so I was in charge of finding all the food, finding all of our entertainment, bringing in guests, other professionals. I was obsessed with the hair industry. I loved it as much as I loved technology. And the same amount of energy that I put into tech, I put it into this. And ultimately, at the end of the day, BTP Hair failed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, but I'm really glad. Hey, you know, it one step at a time, and we learn each step along the way. And that's even what we learn here at KKFI. We're in our pledge week, and we are calling out to our listeners. Please call 888-931-0901 and Feel encouraged to pledge to KKFI so you can keep listening to those favorite shows that you have, learn more about the relationship between hair products and technology with entrepreneurs in Kansas City who've been featured with Huffington Post, no doubt. So please feel free to give us a call at 888-931-0901.
And also, going back to the technology line, we can also have people donate online. And I'm actually going to be starting a timer any second because we have the exciting news that we do have a pledge champion for this time slot on Every Woman. We have Valerie Andrus, who has offered to match up to $100. And although we love Val very, very much, we would like to take all of her money. So help us shake her upside down and jingle all the change out of her pockets. And you can donate online at kkfi.org/donate. Or as Marvita said, you can phone in on 888-931-0901. And just double your donation, double that of our champion. It's the perfect time to make that first donation or your second or seventh or 18th donation to KKFI. And please consider becoming a recurring donor as well. If you become a recurring donor and donate so much per month for the year, that all counts against the pledge. So even if you can't part with a huge amount of change now to take Val's money away from her and give it to us, you could do it in small blocks to take as much money of her away from her as possible and give it to every woman in KKFI.
You could even treat it like school, where you had to pledge every single day. Or is that kind of a different sort of pledge?
Right. I'm starting the timer for 7 minutes now, so you've got 7 minutes to get as much of Val's.
We just got a 100% match.
All right.
I was just informed somebody has phoned in and matched Val's donation of $100. That is incredible.
Oh, that
was
is incredible.
That was great.
But you don't have to stop. We would welcome any money that you can get. We actually have a target to try and raise for this show, for the hour, to try and keep KKFI on the air. We were talking earlier with our guests about how important own voices are. And Kansas City, this is your voice. This is community radio. It reflects you. If you want to be part of the station, you can become a volunteer. You can donate to keep us on the air. You can email us and write us and suggest people or even yourself as a guest so your voice can be heard. This is how we get own voices in Kansas City.
And we really appreciate your support. You know, we've been taking every woman in a little bit of a new direction this year, focused much more on uplifting people's voices from our community that are talking about things that can benefit and assist women, and also focusing on great women within our community. And great is not necessarily someone such as a politician or a film star or an activist, but sometimes, like when we had Imani on, it's a typical mom trying to do the best that she can with a very complex situation that she's facing.
Yeah, raising her own kid, having been raised herself in a single-parent family and overcoming those background issues to be able to be a success and to not pass on bitterness, but raise her child to be wonderful and know they're loved and supported. That's great.
It really is meant to be about every woman.
Well, we're really glad to know that we're being successful here with the fundraising. Keep it up, you guys.
Yes,
that's why we want to bring you interesting guests like Rebecca and Quest, who are talking about things that are really going on, really relevant to what's happening in Kansas City right now. I mean, people know right now Kansas City is going through, it's been for a while now, we're going through a little change from a cow town to Silicon Prairie. That's significant. And these two young people are here to let us know what it takes to not just go and dip your feet into the water, but to take it to the next level and to make a significant presence. I want to talk to you, Quest. Once you realize you had failed in the hair business, which can be, like you said, a very lucrative business, what did you learn from that failure to help you to decide what to do next?
After crying in my friend's basement, literally, from not only the loss of money and income, but ticking a couple people off because we lost money, I took a fast swing of recovery and learning from the failure rate and what happened, why it happened, and what could I move on to. Instead of focusing on a bunch of products, I went into the hair extension market and was quite successful at it and called the company Hair Vault. And that was a fun platform to run. I fast-forwarded out of it.
So you didn't you failed, but you didn't completely fail. Your failure led to a success.
It led to an opening of a window, realizing that the hair extension market in the United States was roughly over $1 trillion.
I tell you.
Wow.
And after watching that whole Chris Rock black hair
Oh, right.
movie, I asked my graduate school teacher at the time for something a little bit more difficult to do while I was in grad school, and I researched racial economics, and I specifically focused on the hair industry, but the hair industry throughout the entire world.
I see.
Focusing strategically on the hair journey, and found out a lot about that world. But just while sitting in the entrepreneurial world, and having the chance to work with Rebecca after kind of moving out of that world in 2014, 2015, I saw the lack of us in the room. Every time that Rebecca and I would go to an event, or we would receive a reward, or we would go to one of these award ceremonies, whether it was with the chamber or something in the startup community or a really good event, we were usually, or Rebecca was one of the few, I would say less than five black women and minority women in the room of color. And of black men or minority men, there's usually less than 10 of us. Mm-hmm. We were always the smallest percent, and we would always huddle together and we would talk about this moment. And so what I do now is I run an organization called Project United Knowledge, where we believe that everyone, for instance, the four ladies that are in this room, plus myself, have some unique knowledge that no one else possesses. And if we combine all of our knowledge, we could help shift and shape communities together. And so Project United Knowledge is a startup studio and a venture builder that helps women and underrepresented individuals to create and to validate and to create and launch their businesses in these sectors of ag, finance, education, and what's the other one? Finance. Uh-huh. Well, it's four different sectors. Sorry. It's been a long day. And tech. But we are also in the services and product space. So you don't have to just be technological. Mm-hmm. We help you go through your business validation, your financial validation, customer validation. Who are your customers? How do you actually find your customers? The whole entire salespeople. And then we bring people in from the community, either community professionals that are entrepreneurs, professionals inside of the corporate world, to help you out every bit of the path. And then through that, we provide you with resources, mentors, other people to help that are skilled in that area, along with access to funding from the local Kansas City area, because we do have a lot of really cool funding mechanisms within the startup community, whether you are going to go the traditional route through an SBA, or you're going to go through a Justine Peterson, you're going to go through AltCap, which they do microloans, or you're going to take the technological route and you're going to apply for our city grant for Launch KC for the $50,000 or $100,000, or you're going to go through Digital Sandbox for that $25,000 grant. Those RU challenges, the Lean Lab, and on and on from there. We just saw the lack of people, and we wanted to really support women and people of color specifically within the Kansas City metro area to really make sure that they have a voice and that they have a place within the entrepreneurial scene.
So then when you and Rebecca finally decided to work together, how did that happen?
So it originally happened when I was helping Quest with his hair vault organization, and that clearly stopped. And then mostly it happened just through organically. We went to, 1 Million Cups. We went to KC Source Link, just looking for different organizations and others to work with, seeing where we fit in. And that's what really happened. And then once we saw that I have a great ability to work with educators and then create programming, he has a great technological arm, we saw that our strengths can really combine with that organization.
It seems like a natural fit, especially with what's needed for youth to be educated in technology. Otherwise, they're going to be at a huge disadvantage. So when you guys started to work together, what made it work? What were the pros of you guys working together? And then what did you learn that you had to work on to, make things work smoothly? I mean, did it all come together smoothly?
No, it didn't all come together smoothly. I would say what did make it work was the mission. We were very focused on the mission of helping the underestimated individuals. And that's what really drove us was, today we did not receive a new customer, or today our marketing plan did not work, or our social media strategy did not work, or we did not make a pitch competition. But what drove us to keep moving forward was that our mission, seeing the individuals that said we need – support, we need help within the community. That's what kept driving us.
And Quest, when I hear you speak, because I've heard you on different interviews or read things about you, but and I've just been in you and Rebecca's presence, whenever you're talking, you'll talk about what you do, but after a while, you'll talk about what Rebecca does. And that never fails. And I think that's really something that's hard to teach some people to do, because I won't say that it doesn't happen. I hear Rebecca talk about you too, but I'm just saying, not a lot of guys are willing to give props to women and understand the need for giving props to women. What is it about you that made you realize that's important?
Besides having a mom and women being a majority of our population, but receiving less than abysmal amounts of funding from either banks or support from other institutions from when they walk in the room, and just having the chance to witness it, working in the corporate world and being a person of color is hard to rise up in certain areas. And I found my common allies happened to be women at the time. Mm-hmm. Anytime that I wanted to try and do something or pull something off, I found myself working with a lot of women. I found ourselves banding together often more times than we needed to. Had the chance to listen to a few young ladies talk about their struggles within the business world, particularly within the startup area, and I couldn't understand. Just like when Rebecca was talking about, it's really your own voice when writing a book. If you don't live it on a daily basis, I really can't talk to the struggles. I had a chance to go to an event with the Kansas City Chamber. I have no idea how I ended up being invited, but there was 75 women at the Kansas City Speedway. There were two guys other than myself in the room, a bartender, Daniel Silva, who is leading the KC Chamber, and myself. Mm. And walking up to groups of women and getting the eye, why are you here? Why are you in the room? Why are you invading our space? Trying to break into the conversations. I finally understood after hanging out at the bar, just talking to the other guys, because it was hard to get into. And then after explaining, yeah, I run an incubator for women. No, you don't. Why? That's weird that you're actually saying that. And it didn't really break in. So I could understand how people feel going to a room full of men or a room full of just white individuals or other individuals that don't look like you. And I can feel it. And so I wanted to help and help out any way possible. And that's what kind of made it. And then speaking about Rebecca and then Rebecca speaking about myself, it's whenever I have the chance to either speak on one of my friends or someone really cool in the community that's a person of the opposite sex, that is really cool. And I don't think Rebecca actually gives herself enough props or what she really does with her company. I mean, if I can take that one, we're going to take the 20-second spill on Penez. Penez is a technological platform to speed up the process to help children read using artificial intelligence and machine learning. Rebecca took on programming, learned different things around software, learned architecture, learned how to communicate with people in the user interface and user experience design. I mean, those are all completely different skills that you didn't find in a classroom mm-hmm. with third to sixth graders. And I think it's very important to talk about that the skills are not impossible to learn. She was not formally trained. A lot of the stuff she learned off of YouTube, reading books, and asking other professionals. And so I think if other people can, one, speak to that, we could probably find more people to enter an industry. And I think more women like Rebecca hopefully speak on their experiences and to move more women to go into that space.
Well, there's a lot to consider. Thank you. There's a lot to consider in what you said as far as just the people having each other's back and how important that is, as well as just the dynamics of some women and what it takes for them to be able to, you know, tell everybody about what they do in a way that feels comfortable to them, or even, you know, like isn't it obvious what I'm doing kind of thing? Sometimes that's what you feel like. But that's what we even feel like here at KKFI. Isn't it obvious what we're doing here? You guys tune in all the time. And that's why we're here this week with this pledge drive. We want you to keep tuning in. But in order for you to keep tuning in, we need your support. And we love your support that you've given us already, but we, you know, we need a little bit more specifically right now. So just like that pledge drive donation that you matched, please feel free to match that bad boy again. Call us at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And donate what you feel you'd love to share to KKFI so that we can continue doing what we're doing and so that you can continue hearing these interesting shows that you know you love to hear.
Remember out there that no amount is too large. Wait, I mean, I think I meant no amount is too small. Well, it works either way.
Definitely. And also online, since we're talking about tech and Penez is online, you can go to kkfi.org, that's O-R-G, /donate. And like Una said, no amount is too large.
Oh, I thought it was kkfi.org, like a caveman website. There's actually an
Don't donate to org. Org will just spend it on a larger club. Donate to us instead.
Oh, right, okay.
All right, so... And speaking of Penez, once again, that's Penez, PENNEZ.com. That's Rebecca's website. Some of the things that Quest was talking about are not trivial for Rebecca. And that was one of the things I wanted to get back to you, Rebecca. What in your childhood did you have experience or were you interested in some of the things that you eventually started trying to teach with your Penez platform? I mean, because you're using artificial intelligence, you're using machine learning. Was there some type of seed planted in you at an early age that led you to this point?
Sure. I would say there's two things. For one, I was the only African-American or minority student in my graduating class. And so that really led me to really trying to find books that represented who I was as a young individual. But the seed specifically on technology, my father was an electrician, and he actually started his own company when I was in fourth grade, and he loved to solder. He enjoyed just to do major installs with different individuals throughout the community. He actually had a whole library of books at our house. We had dictionaries, encyclopedias, how-to books. So either the summertime, we either were able to actually visit with him on site, or we actually just read books throughout our household. So that was really the start of what generated my curiosity. We actually weren't allowed to have internet or computers at our house, or nor cable, so we had to find other ways to entertain ourselves. Mm. And so books and then speaking to our family and, of course, going throughout the community was really drove me to that plant, that seed.
And was that unusual as compared to some of your friends not having internet at home?
Absolutely, yes.
Did
yes.
you try to go to your friend's house to get to internet?
Well, we actually lived on 4 acres, so we were unable to travel to certain distances. So mostly I had to listen to our radio station, 103 Jams, and we couldn't find the regular BET or the different pop groups that everyone else knew, so I had to just hide in the background and pretend I knew what they were saying, but it really didn't come out.
That's funny.
Yeah.
My mom used to control the TV channel, so I didn't get to watch Top of the Pops or know what everyone else was talking about at school.
But was that, so once going through that, was that a how did that affect you? Was it a good thing or was it a bad thing? What do you think was the benefit of that?
Well, socially, talking to my African-American friends on the weekends, it wasn't the best thing because I couldn't relate to, I can't even think of Ja Rule or just the current hip-hop artists. I didn't really understand why they wore certain clothes or what they said. I couldn't even pronounce their names because I really didn't know what was actually coming on. So I just heard it from the radio station, which came later than the actual BET station. So it was more of a social stigma, unfortunately. And then once I went into middle school, it was eventually, oh, do you talk to white or you're, if you're an Oreo? And I was just like, no, this is just who I am. But it was just really just trying to figure out myself socially, who I was, because I couldn't really identify why someone wore their pants a certain way or why they wore certain outfits. I was literally living in Spring Hill as a young African-American woman, but going on the weekends to Kansas City as another African-American woman. I didn't really have that grasp at a young age of who I clearly was.
So you guys actually had a lot in common then, coming up, you know. And
somewhat. He had more of the suburban experience. Right. I had the rural experience.
Okay. That is a little different. you weren't on 4 acres, were you? Quest.
I wish.
Yeah, Quest was saying, and you told us you spent a lot of time in using the computer and around people that were doing technology types of things. So for you, it was a little different because you were into the exposure, whereas Rebecca was removed from everything.
Yes.
So I think it's great then that you guys are together, because it really is kind of a yin and yang kind of thing, the way you guys are working. I hope I'm not being too trite with my wording, but I just think it doesn't matter if it's two females, a male and a female, two males. When you have two people or more who agree and are committed to working on an individual project like what you guys are working on, I think that's significant. And I think that we're really fortunate that you guys are here in Kansas City. Now, one of the things that you have brought to my attention is that there isn't a lot of funding for minority women in particular, minorities in general, but in particular minority women. And I've even been reading about some women who are starting to get into the investor field, like Melinda Gates, and then some other organizations that are trying to tackle that problem. What is it that you find, what do you see landscape in Kansas City? How do you see the landscape in Kansas City reflects that funding dilemma, where there's just not that much money, where minorities aren't receiving the type of funding that other people in technology would be receiving?
I think the clear way of saying it is, I think there's $65 billion that's on averagely invested, I don't think that was a word, on average that is invested into this startup arena, small business world. So there isn't, I won't say there's not a lack of money on the table, it's a lack of people in the room that look like you and that understand when you come in the room. You can have the best financial statement, pro forma, you can have a solid team, but there's still that bias from our male counterpart, particularly white men, that goes on. And it hasn't been something that's been going on for the last just couple of years that people have all of a sudden noticed. This has been years. And now people are finally starting to notice that there's a lack of X amount of wealth in communities. And so this big push behind, let's get more women in the startup world, let's get more people of color and women in the technology world, because this is one of the industries you don't need fancy degrees. As long as you can get on the internet and find some knowledge and solve a problem, have a little bit of luck, and be in the right room in the right place at the right time, you can make it work. Sadly, not a lot of us people of color and or women are positioned to be in the right place at the right time and or can get into these rooms that are more acceptable. The average group of men that raises a group of a series of money is roughly 10 times the amount that of women. Mm-hmm. The average investment, there's four out of the $65 billion, the CB Insights reported that $2 billion went to people of color and women. Wow. And out of that $2 billion, roughly $500 million was split up between people of color, and $1.5 to $1.7 billion was split up between white women. Uh-huh. Or the rest of the population in that group. $60 billion went to waste. So it's how do we fix those problems.
Those are great figures for us to, you know, kind of get a handle on what we're talking about here. So $65 billion is out there. Now, I guess what with today's climate, with the Me Too movement going on, things like that, and with more women investors getting into the field, I know that some people have said that even when you have maybe one woman in a boardroom or one woman on the board of advisors, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. You need to have a group of women who can mm-hmm. voice their opinion so that you even see that dynamic going on. And I think that's really where the challenge is. I think we see pretty, like you say, you one or two women here and there, you know, but what types of things are you doing to try to help get other women to be in those positions that help to make a difference?
Speak to the groups that exist that normally don't advertise to the groups. So what I mean by that are you have supporting organizations specifically here in Kansas City that are set up to make sure that small businesses and startups actually are able to get off the ground or take ideation money or any type of mentor support. And I mean, that comes out of your KC SourceLink, that comes out of your digital sandboxes or your launch KCs, your scale ups, your pipelines, your Rainier centers, your UMKC block schools. All of those people play a big role in the community, and there's more. The problem that I see is when we advertise events, I don't think anyone ever stood up and said, let's make sure that only white men and white women are in a room. I don't think that was a thing. I just think that there are some stakeholders that are not being contacted in various different communities because the stakeholders that are on the board and or run these groups do not know the stakeholders on the other side, which is why it's very important for us to have women on the back end and to have people that represent different communities, different ethnicity groups, and different interest from everyone else. Then we wouldn't have these problems and everyone running around trying to figure out, well, why don't we have a lot of women in the room, or why don't we have a lot of black men or people of color or Hispanics, and why are the stats so low in these areas? Mm-hmm. Advertise to the groups.
I would also highlight, it's also making sure that the community members, such as our colleagues and associates, are aware of what these organizations need. So, for example, we're at 1 Million Cup. Someone said, well, what's your MRR, or what's your customer validation, or what's your customer acquisition? Those are actual structural language and vocabularies that some individuals don't even understand, even asking what's your exit strategy. Well, some people say this is my legacy company. So just at least providing a space where you can educate and inform about before you do walk into Launch KC Group, or before you do apply to Digital Sandbox, what do they expect of you, or what do they need for you to actually make sure that you are clearly at the table with them, or do you have an actual voice that can be heard?
And I'd like to ask you, because you came from education, mm-hmm. which particularly at the non-managerial levels is often woman-dominated, mm-hmm. and then you went to the tech side, mm-hmm. and that tends to be very male-dominated. I went to a training session at the Microsoft office in Overland Park, and there were about 200 to 300 people there, and it's the first time in my life that I've been at a large group event that I haven't had to queue for ages for the toilet. In fact, the men had to queue for ages, and we got to play with their nice new shiny surface table, and we were able to hog it, and we're having loads of fun by the time they got back out again. So how did you find it coming from education as a woman who hadn't started in tech, getting into tech and getting funded? Because you've got the actual experience yourself.
So how did I start? So I actually attended hackathons, and that was thankfully I had Quest, who was a great friend who gave some advice on where to go first. Hackathons were a great exposure, seeing, as you just noted, that there weren't a lot of women, but I still felt very comfortable because I had more of an interest in the technology, and that's what really came from and what really drove me. I also just had an interest of actually like Quest mentioned, speaking to actual individuals at networking events, asking them, what do? Can I shadow you? Can I watch where you go? And that's really upfront, but I didn't mind because I really had the desire and the interest in that field.
Are people open to that type of thing, or what makes that work for you?
For me, I had a specific ask. My specific request was, I need to learn more about software development. I need to learn more about project management or business analyst. And being very specific on my ask was really helpful, as opposed to saying, can you help me? And that really gave the individual a direction. And if they couldn't, they could at least find the right person to build that connection point. And that's what I would say the skill set of being a teacher helped me with, those soft skills of knowing how to talk to certain people, I would say, and then also having the best knowledge. And then once I...
Well, before you go on, I think that really is something just to highlight, and that was that you said you were being very specific on your ask. You weren't just saying, can you help me, or I really like what you're doing. Can I stand by and let you just... show me what you're doing, but saying I want to learn software development, or mm-hmm. I think that's something that can be helpful to some of us who are out there trying to get these types of introductions and opportunities. And what were you going to say next?
Yes, and then it was very helpful beyond the networking. I just did clearly just many LinkedIn requests and just soft cold emails. And again, I just really went back to what I was just very more or less interested in, as opposed to anyone else. There's also great courses on Coursera and as well as edX that can get you sped up on the language. And then just talking to recruiters, interviewing them, asking the recruiters, what's Cerner looking for? What is Sprint looking for? What is the next startup looking for? Going to a co-working space, asking, could I speak to X company and talk to a software engineer? I mean, people in Kansas City, it is a term, Kansas City and ICE, there is a certain level where people do want to help each other. And as Marvita said, having a certain specific request and knowing what you want really gets your foot in the door, as opposed to just not being aware of what you actually want. But that's really important.
Mm-hmm. So, Quest, I know that Rebecca was saying that you were very helpful in kind of pointing her to certain things. With your joint effort as far as Project UK, what types of things are happening with that organization right now? I know that you guys were working on some stuff today. What are you trying to do to let other people know about the services that you're offering?
I am so happy you asked that question. I've been waiting for a moment. So we're actually opening up our application process for entrepreneurs, current business owners, or future entrepreneurs in the Kansas City area that are interested in either A, validating their business or a service of their choice, or B, being able to actually create it and release it and break into this world that we call the startup community that is usually tech. And we want to be able to help and assist. That cohort and class starts the second week of August. Feel free to either email us, go to our website, projectuk.org, or call us.
And that website is projectuk.org, projectuk.org.
And then we also have a high school program that we're starting this year. that's starting off June 18th
for high school kids.
Yes,
and what is that about?
So the high school, we're calling it an entrepreneurship boot camp, and it will be held June 18th for 4 days, and then the following week. And that mostly is to introduce teens ages 14 through 17 to learn about how to pitch a company slash public speaking, the Lean Canvas model, and then as well as digital marketing, because teens are great at social media, But how do you leverage social media to, if you want to make money or if you want to be an influencer, what are some certain ways that you want to do it? So we're mostly providing 21st century skills that are relatable to teens. And if they are interested in entrepreneurship, it's a great way. If they're not, it's still a great skill set that they can acquire.
And that's called the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp.
Yes.
And that will start on June. You'll be registering people for it to start on June 18th.
That's when the actual boot camp will begin.
The boot camp begins on June 18th. And how do they register?
So they can go actually to our Facebook page, since our website is being, and you can go to look at projectuk.org on our Facebook page. And that's how they can find it, to the registration.
And that's good, because we've actually had two people phone in asking for more information and how they could get in touch with you. So,
all right.
If that's the best way, then you out there, you've got it. But
so once again, that's going to the Project UK Facebook page.
Yes.
And you would look for information about the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp, which starts June 18th. And you'll also see something about the second week of August. And what's that what's that program again?
So it is the business validation class. It runs for 12 weeks, 11 weeks of class, and then the 12th week of a demo day. And the demo day is a storytelling of your company as well as a community event.
And where are you guys located physically? We see where you are online, but where do you hang out, and how do you make all this, where do you work to make all this happen?
So we work at the Plexpod Westport Commons. Thank you to Gerald Smith for your vision, of course. And the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp will be held at the Plexpod Westport Commons as well as our class. Mm-hmm. And it's over 160,000 square feet, so we have access to lots of resources and lots of space to do many, many different co-working.
And where is that located again?
It's located on 39th and Warwick.
Right across the street. Yeah. The old Westport Middle School.
Not far from KKFI Studios. So, listeners, if you are interested in finding out more about the Big Validation class, which is a 12-week class that's going to be in August, the second week of August, or if you know some teens that are interested in the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp that will start on June 18th, please, you know, feel free to let them know. They can go online to projectuk.org. And we just want to thank our wonderful guests. I could talk to you guys a lot longer than this, but I think we hit the main ideas that we wanted to talk about. Want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing in Kansas City, for helping to, getting us in the right direction. I think there was one question I wanted to ask, and that was, what do you mean by the exit strategy, as far as what do people need to think about with that? And then we'll let you go.
So I'll start, and then Quest has a exploding version of that.
Okay.
So the exit strategy is just understanding how much do you want your company to sell for when you are ready to actually let it fold? Will it actually fold, or will it actually go to a new owner? And that's the key thing. Additionally, how much, if you were willing to make it public or to keep it private. But essentially, at the end of the day, we see an exit strategy as a way of wealth generation. Just look up the company iVerify, for example, is a great example.
Great.
And I'll just leave it as, it's just how much money do you really want to raise for your organization is what investors ultimately want to know, because when they give you money, they obviously want to get it back, and the only way they can get it back is if you sell the company.
All right. Well, that's the reality of it, guys. It's not just, I have my company and now I'm happy. But there, you have to have an exit strategy, and it helps people to understand that you know what you're doing and that how they can invest in you and help you along the way. So we want to thank everybody for joining us today.
Yes, our exit strategy is that it's coming up on 4 o'clock and there'll be another show with you soon. But I'd also like to thank our guests, and I would like to say I did post a link to their Facebook page on the Every Woman page. So if you go out, if you know where our Every Woman page is on Facebook, you'll already find a link for them there. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to pass the buck or the microphone over to my wife to finish out for us.
Yes, thank you very much for listening to Every Woman on KKFI. Stay tuned for Urban Connections with Donna Wolf and then This Way Out with MC Richardson. We are going to leave you here with a very strange music selection that's really sweet. It's bossa nova music from Thailand, of all things. And you have been listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.